Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for all the great things you've prepared for us in the future. We're so looking forward to the harvest, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you help us to understand today the ways of faith and what you expect us to walk in. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to call this The Science of Healing and Quantum Faith. This is number 3. All right, we're going to talk about timelines, somewhat. Resurrection, somewhat. Okay. And our thanks to Deb and her husband, Will Horton, who majored in physics, who gave us some important information here. Wikipedia defines quantum as, quote, in physics, a quantum, the plural is quanta, is the minimum amount of any physical entity or physical property involved in interaction. The fundamental notion that a physical property can be quantized is referred to as the hypothesis of quantization. This means that the magnitude of the physical property can take on only discrete values consisting of integer multiples of one quantum. For example, a photon is a single quantum of light of a specific frequency, or of any other form of electromagnetic radiation. Similarly, the energy of an electron bound within an atom is quantized and can exist only in certain discrete values. There's a reason for that. We'll talk about it in a minute. But atoms and matter in general are stable because electrons can exist only at discrete energy levels within an atom. Quantization is one of the foundations of the much broader physics of quantum mechanics. Quantization of energy and its influence on how energy and matter interact, which is quantum electrodynamics, is part of the fundamental framework for understanding and describing nature. Willard says that an element, or particle, of time is not yet defined in science. However, the Bible does define a particle of time. It is the twinkling of an eye. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery, we all shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Well, there's some changing going on, and in much closer to us than this change. But and according to Strong's, moment is from atomos, moment, the word moment. From 1/A, not, and 5114, tomateros, to cut the atom. Properly not able to cut, divide, because too small is too small to be measured, like a split second. An instant, an indivisible moment of time, too short to measure, souter, okay? Too short to measure. So we're getting down to the quantum, right? And Deb said, if it's indivisible, then that means it is in a wave form. Okay, Schrodinger's cat. You've heard about that, I'm sure. The 10/27/23 Friday UBM live broadcast, it was mentioned. As David started his explanation of what the factious Satanists had done to sacrifice Eve Brast and how she had been snatched out of her grave in the woods where they buried her by an angel over the UBM angels called Baruch, and how she had received another body, how some of the factious died yet came back only to die again, and many other events that had occurred involving opposing timelines. I was beginning to freak out, and I thought maybe David had been invaded by some New Age spirit and was going down the path of transmigration of the soul. But as he continued, I realized I was hearing Schrodinger's cat, as described by David. Yes, that's exactly what it is. Wikipedia says, in quantum mechanics, Schrodinger's cat is a thought experiment, sometimes described as a paradox of quantum superposition. In the thought experiment, a hypothetical cat may be considered simultaneously both alive and dead, while it is unobserved in a closed box, as a result of its fate being linked to a random subatomic event that may or may not occur. That would probably be somebody's faith on what that cat should be, right? This thought experiment was devised by physicist Erwin Schrödinger in 1935. In a discussion with Albert Einstein to illustrate what Schrödinger saw as the problems of the Copenhagen interpretation of quantum mechanics. So I emailed David about the broadcast and my initial concern, along with a link to an article with the best layman's explanation of the Schrödinger's cat paradox that I could find. But when David tried the link, it came up 404, page not found. And after David replied to my email and I tried it again, that link came up 404, page not found, for me also. Well, it was there for me that I couldn't have read the article and copied the link and sent it to David. So then, suddenly, I realized that the Lord was actually verifying the premise of Schrodinger's cat, which is that something can be there and not be there at the same time. And this is what quantum physics or quantum mechanics has proven. Why and how is that possible, she asks. Okay, so I'm going to give an answer here. When the Lord first spoke to me of two opposite timelines running parallel at the same time, I did not understand because I hadn't heard any of this. And as time went on, I understood that the good believer's timeline was actuated by our faith in believing we have received what we ask for. Something happens out there when we do that. In fact, the whole creation is set up to answer us when we do that, okay? And the verse he emphasized to me a lot was Mark 11:23-24. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. That's powerful. Some people ignore that, but it's to their own detriment, okay? So, I say, speak to the mountains that hinder your path and remove them like unbelief, because it puts you in a completely different timeline. Therefore, I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye received them. That's what it is in the Greek and in the numerics. And you shall have them. Wow. Okay, you have to believe you've received whatever you pray for. We see that everything that you pray and ask for, believe you have received it by order of Jesus. And this is the believer's timeline. The other timeline is the unbeliever's timeline, which is under the curse. What quantum physics or mechanics has proven is that the whole creation is set up to answer our prayers of faith. Our experiences in this regard are parables that help us to realize the necessity to know what faith is and how to use it. Okay, back. The least technical scientific explanation I can give you of Schrödinger's cat paradox is that merely by the act of observing something, the observer does indeed affect what is being observed. People on the bad timeline have tried to contact me from the Middle East, and the Lord says, don't answer them. Don't set your eyes on what they say. They're looking for a way to live, and they want your agreement. And I understand that now, but I didn't at first. So we see in our mind's eye what we want or need when we ask for it. We're seeing something. Our imagination brings up pictures. You know, when we want something or we need it, we're looking at that picture and we're believing we've received that, right? You may possibly, she says, run across this in a Science News or Scientific American article where they discuss how those observing a complex experiment may inadvertently affect that experiment because they are looking for a specific outcome. That's what we do. That's how faith works. In some cases, multiple observers may each obtain a different outcome, because that was the outcome they desired to find. So, multiple observers are able to cause multiple outcomes. What is seen, or what is called reality, actually does depend on the observer. In other words, the faith of the person to see the thing they have asked for. And that matches what Jesus said in Matthew 9 and 29. According to your faith, be it done unto you. Mm-hmm. So here are the pieces of Barry Rothman's artcode.com write-up where the Bible describes altering timelines by reversing them. Okay. And this is the beginning of a copied Rothman section. Okay. The 37th chapter of Ezekiel calls to mind what would be seen on a film if any army were suddenly killed, fell to the ground, and then started to rot and decompose. There's just one problem. Ezekiel 37 describes what would be seen if the film were run in reverse. That is, it seems to portray resurrection as a process akin to the reversal of time. But while Ezekiel is interpreted by some as a metaphor, 2 Kings 20:8 through 11 is a very different matter. The incident in question is as follows. 2 Kings 20 and 8. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord on the third day? And Isaiah said, this shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do that thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, it's a light thing for the shadow to decline 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backwards 10 degrees, which would be, of course, a reversal of time, right? And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought back the shadow 10 degrees backwards, which by which it had gone down on the dial of Ahaz, the sundial, right? The story of how Isaiah, with God's help, reversed time, or the spin of the earth, is also found in Isaiah 38 and 8, which states, "Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the dial, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, to return 10 degrees backwards." So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. He continues, the backward description mentioned earlier with respect to the film analogy can be seen in Ezekiel 37:1-14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and the Lord carried me out in the spirit and set me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of dry bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, You know. Ezekiel 37:4. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and you will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and a commotion, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I beheld, and lo, there were sinews upon them, and flesh came up, and skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Verse 9. Then he said to me, Prophesy unto the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, and they were a very great host. Verse 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, and we are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, says the Lord. Okay, note here, resurrection in Torah and Talmud. The picture that the Torah paints of resurrection is again one that resembles the reversal of time. In Deuteronomy 32:39, we read, See now that I am He, and no God is with me. I put to death, and I bring life. I wound, and I will heal, and there is no rescuer from my hand. The Babylonian Talmud, Sanhedrin 91b, discusses this verse. It says, Our rabbis taught, I kill and I make alive. I might interpret, I kill one person and give life to another, as the world goes on. Therefore, the writ states, I wound and I heal. Just as the wounding and healing obviously referred to the same person, so putting to death and bringing to life refers to the same person. This refutes those who maintain that the resurrection is not intimated in the Torah. With respect to the arrow of time, the normal sequence would be healthy, wounded, still alive, dead. But the sequence in Deuteronomy 32 and 39 is dead, brought back to life, living, but wounded, healed. This again looks like a reversal of the arrow of time. And that's the end of what was copied from Rothman's section. And Deb says, notice that if time can be stopped and then reversed, then time also has the characteristics of a particle. Also, Barry Rothman didn't include the most famous time stop ever, which is when Joshua commanded the sun and moon to stand still, because the sun and moon responded to the spoken words of faith. Wow, that's true. Joshua 10:12, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? And the sun stayed in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Okay, now, here's my thought, and it's more than a thought. Barry is quite right. A reversal of time would bring back your old body at a younger age. But this is not the case, as we know from Eve's body and the gifts that came with it. This is not a resurrection of the old body, but a new body given by God. You understand? So this is what a lot of people would think. And of course, you can resurrect people that way, but it would be back to their old body. So let's talk about Eve's new body, okay? Because I believe that Eve's new body shows us what the bride is about to have. And you should think very intensely on this. Deb Horton said this. She said, I couldn't sleep and just kept pondering about Eve's new body. At the pot blessing, I talked to David about the two verses I shared with Terry, and he agreed. He also said that he couldn't explain everything in a two-hour broadcast. So I fussed at him about his choice of words because people could take them the wrong way, just as I initially did. And he said that the Lord told him Eve's body was so defiled that he wouldn't resurrect it, but gave her a new body instead. Okay. Not resurrecting the old body. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. Obviously, when we're in heaven and we've received our new body, which is a resurrected body, a spiritual heavenly body, you know, then everything will be new. We're born again, spirit, soul, and body. Okay? So, she said, I went to the Greek and it could mean a completely different body. Yes. And Terry McGinley said this, I asked and got a no. And this was for a resurrection of the old body. I asked if Eve had completely different body, a completely different body, and I got six heads in a row. I originally got four and asked for two more to confirm. Okay, I agree with that 100%. So Eve was given a new, younger body. This is not a glorified body. This was a resurrection to a physical life, and hence it was a physical body. Okay? Her spiritual woman was pulled out of the grave after 2 days of being buried and was given a young, healthy body. Her spiritual woman is her spirit and the part of her soul that was born of God. This is what the Lord told me years ago. The spirit person, the spiritual woman, is her spirit and the part of her soul that's born again. Right? Whereas her old carnal man was her flesh and the part of her soul that was unregenerate or unborn again, which God said burned up. It burned up. It was defiled, and he said he burned it up. Her body was not taken from the ashes of her old body because God said they were defiled. Ashes are pure from disease, germs, etc., you know, physical things. But they came from the old man. So in the spirit realm, they are defiled. I believe the DNA was more in line with the Lord's DNA. I mean, we drink his blood. We have no part of him unless we drink his blood and eat his body. In other words, it goes into us. The Word of God is recreating the DNA of Jesus in us. I have been seen in dreams in such a body. And I believe it is the restoration of years under the curse mentioned in Joel chapter 2, and the restoration of all things mentioned in Acts 3 and 21. Okay? However, things was not in the original Greek. It's not talking about things. It's talking about people. The restoration of all. It means the restoration of the fully sanctified ones in Acts 3 and 21, who will be completely restored. Just as Eve typed the bride in many dreams, I believe the bride will all have this regenerate body when the out-resurrection comes with the spiritual resurrection of the man-child to the throne. And that's including, of course, those people who are on the earth and are being changed, okay? So she has a body like she would have wanted. The Lord knew exactly what she liked and desired, and he did something about it. She looks mostly like original Eve, but younger and prettier. Her hair, which was dyed red, is now naturally red. She has no hair on her legs, since she hated shaving it, and her legs are more slim, like she would have liked. She also has wonderful gifts now, like Jesus had, like she's able to read minds and seeing things in the spirit anywhere. Her discernment is great. I was told by the Lord that she was almost unique on earth because of her physical and spiritual makeup. And I asked if she ever had a symptom of sickness or pain, and she said never. That appears to be a body that's not under the curse. Matt's dream, which we're going to share in a few minutes, shows her to have a special spiritual ministry for UBM, and hence her makeup and her gifts. Right? And we have already seen some of this. For instance, she is able to look in on our enemies and tell us exactly what they're doing and what they're talking about and what they're thinking. Yeah. And it's been very useful. she's looked in on factious groups gathering together to plot their strategies against us and told us everything. So, Terry McGinley asked, is this where someone came back into a different body, or am I just missing it? I received two tails for no. So, yes, she was given by God a completely new body that was similar in looks but without the characteristics that she did not like. So I asked for a verse by random computer and received Acts 2:38, she says. And Peter said unto them, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So she asked, "What do I need to repent of?" And she said, "I received Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, whence also we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." But look at the next verse, she says, and completion of the sentence. "Who shall fashion anew the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, according to the working whereby he is able even to subject all things unto himself." So you can't argue with the Lord. He can make anything he wants to make. And he can fashion anew the body of our humiliation. In other words, the things we don't like about it, right? I just don't know. The Bible says there's nothing new. Well, the first thought that came to me from this is this means that it's happened before. Well, it has. Melchizedek had no earthly lineage. Eve's new body has no earthly lineage. Hebrews 7:3, "Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." But he was made like unto the Son of God. Now, fashioning again the body of our humiliation, right? We are the body of Christ, and we are being conformed to his image, and that's what the Bible teaches. Okay, so let's go on. We're going to talk about the double slit experiment. It's about time, or the perception thereof, and it's also both a particle and a wave. Okay? Example. As soon as you say now, your now is your past, and you are in your future. So technically, everything that can or will ever happen is happening all at the same time. Here's the link to a more layman's explanation as per Willard. So we'll put the link here. Here's an excerpt from that link. "The double slit experiment is one of the most famous experiments in physics and definitely one of the weirdest. It demonstrates that matter and energy, such as light, can exhibit both wave and particle characteristics, known as the particle-wave duality of matter. Depending upon the scenario, according to the scientific communication site, Interesting Engineering, which is the site that Michael found. According to the University of Sussex, American physicist Richard Feynman referred to this paradox as the central mystery of quantum mechanics. We know the quantum world is strange, but the two-slit experiment takes things to a whole new level. The experiment has perplexed scientists for over 200 years. Ever since the first version of was first performed by British scientist Thomas Young in 1801. And there's a link here that you can look that up. Okay. Well, coming resurrections, and Eve's new job. And this is Matt Stewart, the dream I was telling you about, 11/4/23. "I had this dream the morning of November 4th. I dreamt that we were in the middle of a regular local meeting, and David was teaching. But then I had a vision within the dream. It was like the time before the meeting where everybody fellowships. I saw Leon was resurrected and sitting in a chair with his usual expression on his face. And I thought, Leon's back. And then I looked over and saw another man that had gone to heaven sitting there as well. In the dream, I knew him, but when I spoke up, I didn't remember who he was. And then I looked and I saw Eve sitting in a chair, very meek, reserved, and humble. I remember thinking that they're all back. They're all coming back. And this happened at a local meeting. Then I turned and looked into the center of the room where there was a commotion going on. I went over there, and Amber was slowly physically materializing from the ground up. After she was fully formed, she said hi to me, and I said hi back, and everyone was so excited. So I went to look for Eve, and she was getting ready to leave to go back to her place to do some work for the ministry. So I followed her, and her workplace was in outer space. And I just took it to mean a job in heavenly places in Christ, right? So a job that has been made for her by God. It was a big floating house in outer space. I'm going to call it cyberspace. From which you could go there freely without a spaceship or special equipment to breathe. You can do that on cyberspace, right? So it's still in the physical realm. Okay. So I followed her up into space to her house, and she went to work on a computer to get something done for the ministry. And I thought to myself, this is cool. Well, notice that Eve is higher up the timeline than the rest of us, because at the moment she is further into the future on the same believing timeline than the rest of us. Eve already has her new body, which she got before the rest of us, which I think was to show us about this new body and that it will be given to the bride, because she types the bride in so many dreams. So, and we don't get this body until future to Eve. Okay. Or bringing us up to the time of Eve. Okay. It's in our future. It's in her past. So therefore, she is higher on the timeline than we are, and here she is shown in space, right? So Eve already has her new body, which we will have in the future. To prove this, she was going to come to our meeting, and she was late. We were already worshiping, and I was guiding her in, speaking to her in the spirit, so she would know where to go, which we both have a gift to do. I was given the same gift. Eve got that from the angels first, and they gave it to me later. And we're able to talk in the spirit to people. I'll talk about it a little bit later. But I told her which roads to take, which were just two, and what road to turn on to come to the address of the property, which was clearly marked on the front of the building. The property number was marked on the front of the building, the address number. We were, and it was 111, by the way, which is a number of gematria of the birth of the man-child, 111. We were worshiping as I talked to her in my mind, which can also be done with words, And there were many cars out front, and we were pretty loud inside, worshiping the Lord. And she said, well, I'm there, and I'm looking at the address on the building, 111, and no one is there. I said, can't you hear the noise and see all the cars? She said, there are no cars and no noise and no one is there. So I walked out of the meeting in front of everybody and out the front door, and I saw no Eve. She said, I am here at the same address and street. And what the Lord told me was that until we got our new body, we would not be in the same time, even though we were on the same timeline, because she's further in the future. She was ahead of us in heavenly maturity as far as her body was concerned. Also, she has tried to come to my house to talk to me and Michael three or four times. Michael says four times. I would ask her where she was because it was taking too long. And she would identify things along the way showing that she was getting closer. And then I would ask her, well, where are you now? Because she should have been here by now, right? She found herself back at her apartment, vehicle and all, and we both were confused. She said, I'm back at my apartment. Time had done something here, okay? So at the out resurrection, we will all be at the same time and on the same timeline. And not just the resurrected people, but we who are in the bride will be in the same shape. Oh, so very, very interesting. You say that couldn't happen. Well, we watched it. And then the vision ended and David was still teaching. So I raised my hand to tell David the vision I just had, but David told me to wait until he was done with his teaching, and then I woke up. So I asked the Lord about this. I believe that this is showing when the teaching with the former reign anointing is over, the man-child will be resurrected spiritually to the throne to begin the latter reign anointing of the Solomon man-child, who is the one that will rebuild the temple. Aha! So, when speaking or thinking a conversation with people in the spirit, it's very clear even when speaking to someone on the other side of the earth. I can't tell that they're that far away. I mean, it's just as clear as a bell. Or in heaven or in hell, by the way. I've talked to people in heaven. I talked to Amber in heaven. And this is the only way to speak to our missionaries in a Muslim land that is not dangerous for them because they hack their phones and emails. This is a fact. And so if you don't want them to know, well, then we talk in the spirit. And it is amazing. Nobody can break into it. Nobody can hack it. It's what the angels told us that they were going to give us, supernatural methods to get the gospel out in the near future. And now it has happened. It is happening. I spoke to Amber in heaven, and she told me to tell Brandy she is coming soon. Only once have I seen an interruption of this gift, and it was God ordained. I was trying to speak to leaders on the unbelieving, cursed timeline, and they couldn't hear me. There's a reason for this. If you acknowledge them, they gain power. The old man has to die. Okay? This happened with Jesus also. They couldn't hear him. He told them, you can't hear what I say. You know? I found out later that the fleshly carnal men on that timeline who were traitors are strengthened when you acknowledge them. It fits the whole quantum aspect. Okay. When you acknowledge them, you look at them, you acknowledge them, it strengthens them. Okay. But you want to see things differently. Okay. And I'll explain that. So this we found out with Kevin when he came back, that we had to ignore and renounce him so that he died as God said. God said he was dead. And he was a Satanist that murdered many people, and nobody wanted him back except the factious, because they had no sense whatsoever and no conscience. So the old man must die for the spiritual man on the believing timeline to live. As the outer man is decaying, the inner man is renewed day by day. So reckon yourselves to be dead, as the Bible says. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body by doing that. Okay. So this dream, Amber's return flight. This is Anna Stewart, 11/19/23. My dream started before Amber had died. In other words, in her dream, this was before Amber had died. And I had no knowledge in the dream that she had ever died. She was sick, but still able to move around for herself, and she took a flight somewhere and was now soon scheduled to return from heaven, let me say. That's my note. We were discussing who would pick her up from the airport. I volunteered to go, but Debbie said she'd pick her up since she'd already been there. Okay. Well, this is meaning that Debbie would be back home with us to pick up Amber. Well, she just came back from her trip that she was on to see her family. So Amber will be here soon with the rest of the out resurrection. According to this, we agreed, but then I was attacked with thought that her flight might be delayed. And you understand that this quantum mechanics doesn't work positively for you if you have any form of unbelief. Okay. In fact, James chapter 1 tells you you're not going to receive anything from the Lord if you're double-minded. So I cast those thoughts down and thought, no, she's going to arrive on time with no delays. Okay, that's the good confession, and that's the faith, and that's what she sees as happening. Okay, and according to quantum mechanics, that's how it comes to pass. Well, she definitely took a flight to heaven, but praise God, she's coming back, and it appears this will be soon. If nothing else, I believe it is an encouragement that she's coming and to cast down any thoughts of being delayed, said Anna. And may we all be counted worthy to see this thing through to the end. Amen. So Deb Horton said this, time also exhibits the characteristics of both a wave and a particle. Example, as soon as you say now, you are in your future, and your now is your past. So technically, everything that can ever happen in creation is happening all at the same time, which perfectly supports the concept of different timelines and holding fast by faith to the promise. Okay? So in other words, Amber is already returned. The problem is that we have to have the eyes to see her at this time. See, it's when the particle, of course, when you set your eyes on it and you believe it, then it comes to pass, right? I think Anna's dream, and many other dreams, by the way, are helping us to see this now, to understand this now, to understand the importance of when God says something, you believe you've received it. Jesus said, do this with everything you pray or ask him about. Everything. That's a command. It's not a request. He's telling you what faith is. So, she goes on to say, may the Father multiply our faith as the stars of heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. I agree. So, we named this part here, Amber is going to arrive on time. Is going to arrive on time. Deb Horton. Some 50 or so years back, I simultaneously experienced two timelines running at different speeds. Here's what happened. Our neighbors down the street, Sue and Denny, were going to give us the swing set that their children had outgrown, and so Denny called to let me know that he would be coming over with it that morning. The phone rang. I picked up the receiver and said, hello. I heard Denny say, hi, this is Deh. Just the first part of his name, Deh. And I was gone, thrown out of my body. I found myself standing under the shadow of what I just assumed was the wing of an airplane. There was barely enough light to see more than shadows, and the wind was just howling and groaning. She says, yes, that's the classic description of the astral plane. I don't know why I wasn't scared to death. Everything around me was either concrete or tarmac, and I was in the middle of speaking with some man. Well, not speaking. He had to shout over the noise of the wind. There was only one other man that I knew named Dennis, back from when I lived in D.C., and although I couldn't really see who this man was, that's who I thought it was. We had to have been talking for at least 3 to 4 hours when I heard knee, the second syllable of Denny's name. So 3 or 4 hours previously, she got Dan, and then now it's knee, the second syllable. In other words, there's no time in between, okay? Of Denny's name, and I was back in the kitchen with the telephone receiver in my hand like nothing had happened. Next to no time had elapsed. By the way, you know, people go to heaven in a moment and spend days up there. When they come back, they missed very little time because that's a timeless zone. You know, we live in time, right? She went on to say, as David likes to say, God always starts on time to finish on time. Okay, this we called Cutting the Python. Marie Kelton, 11/20/23. During the morning meeting, David was talking about the two timelines and that in the bad timeline, the people are dead to God's ways. I had an open vision of a python with half of its body coiled up. The other half, with the head, was lying on the ground dying. I then saw a hand holding a cleaver knife. It cut the body connected to the head apart from the coiled part of the body. Well, the one thing that came to me about this, and there are probably more, but the part of the body with the mouth and teeth is the unbelieving bad timeline, who are the factious, and other failed people who will eventually die off under the curse for lack of faith and good confession. They have no faith. The people in the faction have no faith whatsoever. They all go back to what they were doing before they got any faith that they learned from UBM. and they don't have a conscience either. So my thought is death and life are in the power of the tongue, which is in the head, right? Matthew 12 and 36 says, "And I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Why is that? Because when you see something, however you see it, that's how you speak. And you see, that changes things around you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, literally. So, people create their own future. "And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof," the Lord says. People create their own future by what comes out of their mouth. He said, you're going to give account for that, for what you said in the day of judgment. A factious woman that we know is on the bad timeline and thinks it's the only timeline. She said so. Until God took her to hell and showed her the factious Satanist leaders and their head, Kevin, burning in hell. And she was told by the angel that this was her timeline end if she didn't repent. So she burned in hell for a while and came back out. Okay, God does that. He's done it recently with a whole bunch of factious people. And surprisingly, some of them come out and they don't change their mind. That's the power of those demons on them and their lack of faith and their lack of repentance. They can even listen to God speak to them as he did when they were in hell and ignore him. So, here's an alternate time island. And this was given to Anonymous, 11-20-23. "In my dream, I was on this desert island with David Eels, and we would somehow translate on and off the island to normal land. It was really nice having this, like a private island and freedom. However, a couple that fell into faction were also on the island, and we could see them, but they couldn't see us, even if we stood next to them." So Deb said this, Luke 16 and 26, "And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, that they that would pass from hence to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from thence to us. We saw them moving around and living on the island, but where they were was all dark colors, and the parts of the island that they moved on was as if it were a different island with thorns and not nice colors and difficult areas. The land seemed dark and cursed and haunted." And Deb put this note there, Hebrews 6 and 7, "For the land which has drunk the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them whose sake it is also tilled, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it's rejected and nigh unto a curse, whose end is to be burned. But the island that we were on was colored and beautiful." So the part of the island they were on was all, you know, cursed, and this part was blessed. It was colored and beautiful, and not cursed. Even though this was the exact same island the factious couple were on, I felt that they didn't even want to be able to see us. They don't like seeing us, obviously. And they couldn't at all, but we could see them. And actually, we can. We can see everything they're doing. As I told you before, they were not able to get off the island, and they were stuck on it. But David and I could freely leave the island as we desired. The island, I believe, had all the opportunities of quantum physics. And if you see and believe, you will receive, but they can only see their cursed timeline because they don't believe. So there's a separation here, you see. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, and even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled in them that perish. The good news is not on their tongue. The only thing they want to do is slander and bring down anybody that's walking righteously. That's all that's their whole ambition. They don't preach the gospel to anybody or anything like that. They don't believe the gospel anymore. They are just total in unbelief and under the curse. And if you look at them, you see that they age much faster than we do. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them. And it doesn't. It was kind of like two different realities, but as one. The two of us had the choice to see both realities as we desired, but the factious couple could only see the one that they were in, and they had no knowledge or understanding of anything else. And actually, they believe that they are in the only timeline, but they don't know it ends in hell. So this has caused, this is, of course, a separation. God is separating the wheat from the tares in more ways than we ever thought. And it is according to their very words and their very faith. And the fact that they never forgive, of course, means what Jesus said, that they're never forgiven. If you're never forgiven, you're lost. And if you're lost, you're under the curse. It's very obvious that they're under the curse. Okay, this one we call multiple shifting timelines. Deb said, I'm not the best explainer, but here goes. If nothing is fixed or set or real or manifested, choose your word, until it is observed and believed, then all possibilities have to exist simultaneously. The cat has to be alive, and the cat has to be dead. The cat never has to have been in the box, and the cat has to be having kittens in the box, and the cat has to be a yellow tabby, and the cat has to be a calico, and so on. It's all according to what a person perceives in their mind they want, and they ask for it, and they believe they've received, or they don't. Okay. So every possibility of the cat has to be there to meet the expectation of every possible observer being either positive or negative. And at what's been proven is that when you look on this particle or wave, and you believe you have received this thing in your mind, and that's what you see, that's what you get. Jesus said that. So science is just proving what Jesus said. Interestingly, multiple timelines seem to be appearing in movies. For example, Angel Studios has released The Shift as a modern-day retelling of the Book of Job. Kevin Garner gets separated from Molly, the love of his life, when a mysterious adversary known as the Benefactor sends him to an alternate dystopian reality. Well, families are getting separated through the slander spoken from the wicked to cause people to receive faction and witchcraft and slander it separates families. And then, of course, they're trying to find one another. And generally, whoever gets infected first destroys the other. That's generally what happens. Will hope and faith be enough to find his way back? See The Shift in theaters December the 1st. And the Deep State Media has released another movie about timelines called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Okay, so they know about it too. Yes, of course. The NPR movie review says, multiverses are having something of a moment, popping up in recent movies like Spider-Man, No Way Home, and upcoming ones like Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Yeah, they're just popping up everywhere. Everybody's getting the revelation of this. But they don't recognize it as a timeline of faith or a timeline of unbelief. They're going to have what they want. If it's more sin, that's what they'll get. If it's more righteousness and purity and you believe you have received, that's what you're going to get. Okay. It's refreshing then to get a new multiverse movie this week that doesn't spring from the world of comic book superheroes. It's called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. An apt title for a movie that imagines the existence of thousands of alternate timelines featuring thousands of alternate versions of ourselves. So the Bible is, no surprise, correct. Deuteronomy 30 and 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before thee life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore choose life. In other words, choose to believe the good timeline that agrees with the promises in the Word. Choose to believe life, that thou mayest live, thou and thy seed. Amen. Teach your children how to walk by faith and talk by faith and see by faith. Verse 20. To love the Lord thy God, to obey his voice, and to cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to give them. Well, you know, let me see. It was the land of milk and honey. But the others claimed all they saw was giants. And so they brought the bad report, and so they died in the wilderness. Yes. Ezekiel 12 and 2. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of the rebellious house that have eyes to see and see not, that have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Mm-hmm. And Luke 8 and 10. And he said, unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Sounds like that island, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And I think this explains Psalm 82 and 6. I said, ye are gods, and all of you sons of the Most High. Nevertheless, you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. So we are co-creators of our life based on what we choose to believe. Do you see that? How amazing that God has made this whole universe to serve in the creation. All right, I'm gone a little over time. But God bless you and keep you. And thank you so much, Father, in Jesus' name, for being with them. And we love you and we praise you. Amen.